Do you believe that? That even if the ocean was full of ink, you couldn't write, it would not be enough ink to write the love of God for you. Is that true? Then who is your God? Think about that. I think we often sing a lot of songs like that without the understanding who God is and what that means. To understand that God's love for you goes far beyond anything else. No time. Time doesn't give you enough time to tell about all the times that God has shown His love to you in just your short lifetime. Turn to 2 Timothy 2. I'm trying to combine two little messages here for you. Something that I feel is very important for you as young people. Something that you can take home with you and kind of apply it to your life, but also give you some inspiration. 2 Timothy 2, verses 19 through 26. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, and follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Does any of this apply to you as young people? Does it apply to you? First of all, I'd like to ask another question. Are you the servants of the Lord? Is there anyone married here? Is there anyone courting? You're at a good place. I want to focus most of the attention on verses 21 and 24 through 25. Or actually 20 and 21, 25, 24 and 25. These verses talk about the different vessels in a house, and is using this example for a reason. I was trying to think of different examples in Africa. I know they have plenty of examples. There they still use the earthen jars. Some of them use them for water. They're used for all kinds of different things. We somewhat have the same idea in mind. There in Africa, when someone comes to visit you, you don't give them the common bowls that you use every day. You give them the most prized bowls that you have to serve the food in. That's what they like. That's what they do. We do that to a certain extent. Put that example into your life. How does God view you as young people? How can God view you as young people? I'm not necessarily looking at the honor or dishonor aspect of it, but what are you using your life for? What are you allowing God to use your life for? If you say that God loves you as a person, as one of His children, He cares about you as His servant, you have a function to fulfill. And a very needed function. We often look at the older guys as, yes, they have a lot of wisdom, and we almost set them on a pedestal saying that they are the most useful people in the church, they're the most useful people in preaching the gospel. I think of Daniel Keniston. I look at him as someone that has been used in a lot of ways as a great vessel of honor. God has used him and used him and used him in many, many circumstances, many situations. And you could say that also of Denny Keniston. We look at them as saying they're almost a certain breed of people. Right? Maybe y'all don't do like I do. Or did. we like to set different people at a certain place. Daniel alluded to it a little bit when he said that he... it's beginning to be a little hard for him to put himself into your shoes as young people. That's why he was mingling in with you. He was trying to train his mind to think how you think, so that he can better reach you. There's nothing bad in that. But, I feel like I'm trying to explain something that's in my mind and I'm not getting it across. It's harder for me to talk than it is for me to write. Turn to 1 Corinthians 7. This is where I'm headed for. So we'll just go directly there. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 32 through 35. Keep this in mind that you are vessels of honor. God wants you to be vessels of honor. And God will use you if you are a vessel. And He will use you in the function that He has for you. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 32 through 35. But I would have you without carefulness, he that is unmarried, care for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married, care for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cared for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married, care for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. How many of you enjoy verses that talk about people being single? I love them. I'm married, but I love them. People often said that I was very strong on singlehood. And I know I've said it here before, but people have often said that I said I will never get married. I never said that. But what I did tell them was, even though I'm married, I'm still going to preach for the singles. And that's what I want to do for you today. You are vessels that God can use for honor. Why? Because you're not distracted. There's a couple times when my wife and my little boy came in here. My mind is thinking about, okay, the rector of this Bible school, I'm supposed to have everything down, have all my ducks in a row and everything, and my wife walks in and my little boy starts crying. What happens? My ducks just go running away. They've got on my mind. My first focus is my wife and my family. That's where my focus is. It's not bad. It's where it's supposed to be, according to these verses. But where is your focus? Where is your attention? Do you understand the aspect that has been taught here that you are the church of Jesus Christ? In light of these verses, you care for the things of the Lord. Can that be said of you? That you care for the things of the Lord? Or do you care about your own self? Think of the vessel. What kind of vessel do you want to be? It's often been said that, not necessarily said. I heard it said one time, very openly. But the connotation is often there, especially for men. You are not a man until you are married. Has anyone felt that or heard that? I've heard it said. I've felt it many times. You're not really a man until you're married. You really don't have a place in the church or in society unless you are married. Marriage kind of gives you a status that you are somewhat above. In a sense, that is true, but not according to these verses. According to these verses, once you get married, your status goes down. You ever think about that? It's hard for a lot of people to understand that. But it places a huge responsibility on you as young people, as singles. It places a huge responsibility and should give you a sense of incredible honor that God places on you. How are you going to live and fulfill that responsibility that God gives you when you go home? I told you to write down the things that you're going to change or things that you feel like God wants you to change in your life when you go home. There's a reason for this. If you care for the things of the Lord, if you're going to live without distraction, caring for the things of the Lord, you have to change some things in your life. I don't know what all you are involved in. Some of you enjoy sports, especially for the guys. Sports are good. I need to play sports more because I feel very sore this morning. How much time do you spend playing your sports? For you girls, how much time do you spend thinking, dreaming, in front of a mirror? Some of you don't do that, I know. But how much time is spent on things that concern you? What about your fantasies of marriage, of a home, of your own? How much time could you spend studying for a sermon? Girls, have you ever thought about preaching a sermon? Some of you are probably full of sermons and could preach a lot to the men and would love to preach a lot to the men, but have you ever thought about sharing it? Did you know that you have a place to do that? And it's not that you just have a place, you have a responsibility to share that. You care for the things of the Lord. It says very blatantly here. You care about God's things. A lot of you are dreaming about being a bride. Yesterday, I'm not sure what all was said down there, but the idea that I got was that you are looking to be a spotless bride. Is that your dream? Is that what you want to be? Do you want to get married? I see a few people smiling, but some people just don't look like they want to get married. If you want to get married, do you want to be a spotless bride? It's good. Keep that in your mind. But also remember this. And you guys, do you want to marry a spotless bride? Is that your dream? Okay. Does God need anything different? Or deserve anything different? Should we, as young people, put a spot on the church and the bride of Christ? Do we do that? Do you act as if you are the bride of Christ and you want to be spotless? Sometimes it's hard for me to do that. And I want to explain here a little bit what I'm thinking about. The idea that you are a better person or have a higher status symbol after you get married is a hoax and is not biblical. There's a lot of things that I feel like our culture holds to that is not biblical. The idea that you should be married before you go on the mission field is a lie from the devil. The idea that you need to be very spiritual and have read the Bible through 30 times before you start going out and preaching. Or even the idea that you are more spiritual because you read the Bible through 30 times. That's lies. Lies from the devil to hinder you as young people from doing what God wants you to do. And from you, He wants to hinder you from taking this responsibility of caring for the things of the Lord. There are places that you can go as young people that as married people cannot go. Have you ever thought about the cities around you? Married people are supposed to be missionaries, right? I find it hard for me to balance my work and my family time and church life. To the extent that it's hard for me to find the time to visit my neighbors. I'll be honest. Some of my neighbors I haven't even met. My next door neighbor, I was there when he bought the place and talked to them a couple times when they were about to move in. But since he's moved in, I've seen him twice maybe. It's hard. But I look at something like that, it's one of my failures as a man of God. But it's also, my attention is divided. And you as young people have the opportunity to make use of your youth, your undivided attention on God, your energy, your strength. You have the opportunity to use that for the glory of God in a way that I am not able to do so. You young men, have you ever thought about, have you ever wondered what would happen if you went to your leaders and said, I have a burden for a youth Bible school. Can I direct it? You saw the mistake with the financials. There's a couple mistakes with the prayer groups. A couple mistakes with the study groups. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed this Bible school.
Thank you.
But just think with me. All those mistakes could have been eliminated if I wasn't distracted. I am kind of a perfectionist in some of those things. How many of you know what is happening in the cities around you? And what I'm talking about is the immigrants coming in. How many immigrants are in your city? And from what countries? Do you ever study that? Ever dig into that? How many of you men have lost jobs because the jobs have been given to Mexicans? How many of you heard that the Mexicans are taking over our jobs? How many of you have done something about it? Or what would... What did you do about it?
I hired one.
You hired one. How many of you see it as a problem? A couple. What about the other immigrants coming in? Right now in Lancaster, I don't know quite the numbers, but I know that there's a large number of immigrants coming in. Some people look at it as a problem. Some are very Republican in their viewpoints that the borders should be walled. Some would almost say it's a shoot on sight thing. How should you view it as young people? An opportunity. Just out of curiosity, how many of you have watched the video or heard of the video? Trying to think of the name. Something to the effect that God has forgotten us. I think it's God has forgotten us. It's a video of the Sudanese, the lost boys of the Sudanese people. There's a group of boys that fled the killing and the massacring there in Sudan. I think they started out in like 3,000 with about 3,000 boys, ranging from babies to 16 years old. After their trek was over, which was thousands of miles, about 1,500 of them were left. They were taken in by the UN and dispersed in different countries. Some were left there in the camps. A few of them were dispersed in other countries. Some of them came here into the U.S. And this is something that inspired me, because I see a huge opportunity with U.S. young people. An immigrant comes in. He has no place to go. He has no friends. He knows nothing. And if you know anything about African culture, especially, first, you're living in a little hut, mud floors, chickens running around. This is while they were in the refugee camp. They come out of that, put on a 747, flown to cities where it's decently clean and you got these big skyscrapers, and they felt lost. I mean, really lost. But there were people that met them at the airport and took them through every step to acclimating to the culture. I don't know that these people were Christians. But the thought came to my mind, what would happen if all of us, as single youth, with undivided attention, no distractions, would take up that opportunity and say, we are going to meet every immigrant coming in, and we're going to befriend them, or at least as is possible, we are going to befriend them. They will be our friends. Turn it around. What would you think if you were an immigrant going to a brand new place? There's no place, no one around, and suddenly you see this friend, this person that is smiling at you and saying, I'm going to help you. And that person was a Christian. For the first time, you were able to see Christ lived out. You would be curious. Why does this person want to be my friend when no one else wants to be my friend? Americans are the most unfriendly people. They are. You think Muslims are. You've never visited a Muslim country. You have opportunities that I cannot have. It would be almost impossible for me to do that, what I just described. But very possible for you. Anyway, that's just one opportunity. Singles get to spend their energy on the work of the Lord without having to care for children or a spouse. My plea for you is, as you go away from here, the things that were taught here, you received some teaching that I did not get. You received a biblical viewpoint on relationships. You received a lot of very good spiritual disciplines. How to do that, what that looks like, the benefits of it. You have been given a lot. That's God's things. That's God's desire, is that you take those things home from here and put them to practice. You have the responsibility, but you have the opportunity also to change your church. You feel like your church is not doing well, it's not It's kind of a dead church. I came from a church there in Tennessee that before I got married, I was the only young man there. There just wasn't anybody there. I think there was two youth girls. The church really felt dead. It did. What did I do about it? I started criticizing the leaders and how everything was run and criticizing the beliefs that we have and saying there's got to be something wrong. There was something wrong with my own heart. I wasn't willing to take the opportunity to be a blessing. I wasn't willing to take the opportunity to get out of my comfort zone and be an evangelist. And I'm pleading with you, some of you come from fairly strong churches. You have the power to make that church dead or alive simply by how you act and the things that you do. And why is that? You may not feel like you have a status symbol, but each one of the leaders is looking at you. Each one of the elders is looking at you and saying, please, help me. Please, help me. If you would only see the opportunities that are available to you, if you would only take the responsibility and the opportunity, you would bless your leaders like you would. You have no idea how you could. And one of those ways was mentioned before, helping them to have a day of rest and relaxation. Give them the opportunity to spend time with their family, to spend time alone. Help them with something that you're supposed to be doing anyway. We think that it's the leader's job to encourage each other, and to encourage the people of the church. We put them in the place of responsibility to take care of all the issues in the church. If we have an issue with someone in the church, we either criticize them or go tell the elder and say, hey, I think this brother needs some prayer, needs some counseling, or whatever. When was the last time you counseled someone? When was the last time that you took someone aside and said, how are you doing spiritually? How are you doing? I want to know how you are doing. How can I be a blessing to you? How can I encourage you? I got a fun one for you. Something that you can do and something I would encourage you to do. Go home and you can either find a newly married couple or someone that's been married for years. For you guys, go to the man and say, brother, I just want to ask you one question. Do you love your wife? Have you ever thought that that's your responsibility? You care for the things of the Lord, right? It's the Lord's stuff. Marriage carries the image of Christ. Are you not concerned about it? What about you ladies? Go find a married woman and say, do you love and respect your husband? Are you still that spotless bride? Do it sometime. They might look at you kind of through their... trying to look at you over their noses, but once begin to realize what you are doing and what you are concerned about, they will deeply appreciate it. If there's a struggle in a marriage, you can find that out very easily. But you don't just go and find out where the problems are. You help them. If there's a mother in the church that you see comes in and she is, especially on Sunday mornings, it's been a long night and she looks like the first breath of spring that came through the long, hard winter. You have an opportunity to bless someone and to help them to prosper in the Lord. A lot of mothers are very distracted by their children. They just are. Some men aren't fathers like they should be. You have an opportunity to help them. You ladies, you have an opportunity to help the mothers by taking their children and saying, "Let me help you." Or by asking, "Is there some way that I can help you throughout the week so that you can come to church feeling refreshed, energized, and ready to hear the Word of God?" For you men, ask the husbands, "What would be a way that I could encourage you to love your wives more? Is there something that I can do besides just praying for you to help you carry the image of Christ?" There's just one example. One very important example. If you value marriage for your own life, if you value a spotless bride, my question to you is, what are you going to do about the bride of Christ in the image of Christ on your life and the lives of those in your congregations? You can have visions and dreams of marriage, of a good home, a good church life. Those things are good. But if you're not acting on those visions and dreams, if you're not seeking to see those things fulfilled, they probably never will be fulfilled. Especially when you're single, if you have visions and dreams of a godly home, dreams and visions of a strong marriage, if you're not acting those things out and being strong while you're single, you will not have them when you're married. You will not. Unless God does a work in your heart after you're married. Also, just a little thing on relationships, on marriage relationships. While you're single, I would encourage you, it's part of the work of God. While you're working for God, seek to be the type of person that you would like to have in your spouse. You ladies, I don't want to see you going to the gym and trying to get your muscles big. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is someone that's solidly grounded in God. Solidly grounded in God and His work. Being filled with a passion to see your lover, the Lord Jesus Christ, lifted up and exalted in His church. to see people coming to know who He is. And the most important thing for you meditate on the things of God and give yourself entirely over to them so that your progress may be evident to all. I feel like I'm kind of rambling and kind of blowing over top of your head or maybe underneath your feet. My burden is to see laborers in the kingdom of heaven. It's been the passion of my heart. It's been the burden on my heart here. Preparing you, giving you tools that you can take to be servants of the Most High God. Reveling in the love that He has for you. Seeing the opportunities that you have. Seeing the responsibility that you have. Preparing yourself, using the tools that you have to become what you're supposed to be. Be servants of the Lord. Look at verses 24 and 26 there in 2 Timothy 2. The servant of the Lord is gentle. He doesn't push his own point. But he is apt to teach. And he will teach in meekness. He sees the opportunity that he has in front of him to help others come out of the snare of the devil. He's not willing that anyone should perish because he has the love of Christ in him. He avoids foolish and unlearned questions, questions that he doesn't know a whole lot about. He avoids them because he knows that they bring strife and division. The servant of the Lord follows righteousness, faith, charity, and peace with all them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Seek these things. Seek the Lord. Seek the opportunities that you have to share with others what you have learned. It would bless me to hear that from some elders or people in your churches, it would bless me to hear that you went home and started teaching the things that you've learned this week. When you teach something, you learn it more. So if you want to take what you've learned this week, or you've heard this week, start trying to teach it. It will go deeper. And if you don't go deeper in God, in your responsibilities with caring for the things of the Lord, you will basically be a vessel of dishonor to God. Something it's just common, nothing special, everything's okay. If you look at what happened with Job, Job was a vessel of honor. God brought him out as a trump card. Satan was kind of proud of all the people that he had in his domain. God brought him out and said, "Have you ever considered my servant Job?" It's like bringing out the most honored, most prized dish that he has. He says, "Have you looked at him? Have you considered him?" Can God do that with you? Will God do that with you? Or is everything just okay? It's very common. There's nothing really special about him. He lives life according to their own desires, their own wills. It's all about them. God is a slot machine. God is something that is there only for our benefit. Can God count on you to fulfill your obligation as singles, as young people, to care for the things of the Lord without distraction? Distraction from marriage, distractions from the things that are good. Can we put those things aside so that God's name would be made great among the nations? Let's pray. Father, I don't know why you put these things on my heart. I don't know how to express them, Lord. And I know, Lord, that you've said that your word will go forth. If it does go forth, it will come back. Not void, but bearing fruit, Lord. And I just pray, God, that you would have mercy upon these young people during this last day that we have here. There's been a lot said, God. And I ask, Lord, that you would bless these young people with a sense of urgency, a sense of responsibility, but also a sense of worth. Knowing, God, that you treasure them because they care for your things. They care about what you think. They care about what you desire. They can look at your face and they can wait on you without being distracted by marriage or fatherhood or motherhood or any of those things, Lord. I pray, God, that you would be with them, bless them as they go from here. Help them, Lord, to be your servants that are meek, bold, gentle, seeking after righteousness with a pure heart, and rejoicing in the love that you've given to them, Father. We need you. We need your help. Help us, Lord, not to be okay with living a life of okay. But to look at these exercises, Lord, that we've learned this week, the teaching on relationships, looking at them, Lord, not as a burden, not as something that, oh, now we got to do this or that, but looking at it as an opportunity, Lord, to strengthen ourselves, strengthen our hearts in you, to purge out those dark spots in our lives so that we can be your pure bride, Lord. Inspire us, O God. Continue, Lord, to give us revelations of you. And go with us, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.